This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Some of the world's greatest actors have played Shakespeare's Richard III. But all of them? And then some?
Methought that I'd broken from the tower and was embarked across to Burgundy. And in my company, my brother Gloucester, who from my cabin tempted me to walk upon the hatches. Thence we looked toward England and conjured up a thousand heavy times during the wars of York and Lancaster that had befallen us.
A speech from Richard III delivered by a repertory of identifiable voices has become an internet sensation. The man behind those voices, Jim Meskimen, has been called the greatest impressionist of these times. He also appears in films, commercials, and TV shows, and Jim Meskimen will appear tonight at the Acting Center in Hollywood. He joins us from the studios of NPR West. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Scott. And may I say, this is my impression of Robert Siegel. feels like, as I'm here in the NPR studios, it's only appropriate to take on that sort of bemused kind of delivery that Robert Siegel is so good at.
I don't think I know that voice. Robert Siegel? Well, all right.
Yeah, you don't see people doing their Robert Siegel in nightclubs much.
Well, in a decent world, you would. I wish I could think of a more clever way to say this, but how do you do all those voices?
You know, it's something that, I guess it's kind of like a musician who sits and strums the guitar and tries to play licks that he's heard Pete Townsend do or something, you know, and you just kind of get curious. And I've done it all my life, and I started making a living at it, so I just continue to noodle with it, and it's a hobby that has been very fruitful for me.
Do you have any idea how many voices you do?
I don't. I always say that it's too much record keeping, but they come and go, and also voices change. Jack Nicholson sounded completely different in his early part of his career than he does right now, the great Jack Nicholson. You know, I've noticed, though, that when I do celebrity voices, like when I did the Jib-Jab cartoon, This Land, I did all the voices for that. This land is your land. This land is my land. I'm a Texas tiger. You're a liberal wiener. That's a long time ago. But when I did that, people started paying attention to me as an actor more for some reason. So, I use it mostly as a way to separate myself out from the tens of thousands of other terrific actors out here in L.A. Mm.
You grew up in a show business household.
I did.
A lot of people will recognize the name of your mother, Marion mm-hmm. Ross.
Marion Ross, the great Marion Ross of Happy Days and Brooklyn Bridge fame. She's 83 years old. She's on stage right now in Toronto doing Lost in Yonkers, and she's an extremely youthful and inspirational person.
Well, good. God bless. Do you think it's possible you grew up sensitive to voices in a certain way?
I did, absolutely. And my mom used to point out voices to me. She'd say, listen to this person. And she would imitate people as well. And so I kind of got clued into that frequency. And my dad was a musician and loved music and comedy and stuff. And so we would, on the weekends, this is back in the days, in the 60s, on the weekends, we'd sit around and listen to records. I can't even imagine doing such a thing today. We would listen to Monty Python and John Prine and Bob Dylan, and then he would play guitar and we would sing.
Yeah.
So, and musicality has a lot to do with voice acting, I think, and impressions, too.
Well, explain that to us.
Well, like I did with Robert Siegel just a moment ago, there's a certain rhythm and a timbre and a way of delivering things, which is different from my own voice or from somebody else's.
Like Robin Williams, for example, goes into hyperdrive, but that's just the way he is. It's sort of clipped and fast.
So there's a musicality to that, in that it contains observations about pitch and rhythm. And
Morgan Freeman is another person who has a very musical voice. It kind of goes along slowly and then makes an interesting observation and then backs down.
Bring on the penguins. When you were a youngster, did you imitate your teachers, for example?
I did. I still remember. There was a guy named Mr. Larson, the PE teacher, and he would always say, okay, gentlemen, line up, please. Line up. Very particular kind of way of saying that. And, of course, you had to be cagey about it and not do it anywhere within earshot.
Yeah.
But I was definitely one of those guys that imitated, who would call up friends and pretend to be someone else. I'm still that guy.
What makes you decide to do someone, if I can put it that way?
It's mostly based on affinity, Scott. I find that I like them so much that I wouldn't mind trying them on. Like Colin Firth, I've admired him for many years, watching him on those, terrific sort of Merchant Ivory films, and there's something marvelously tentative about him. And then when he became you know, such a huge mainstream star with the King's Speech, I thought, well, why not, you know, bring it back and just stutter more?
Oh, I should know this. Do you do any women?
Well, I do Arianna Huffington. And that's about the only one I can do, just off the top of my head. But I've listened to her so often on Left, Right, and Center, I feel like I can, you know, almost dictate what her viewpoint would be.
Well, and thank you for mentioning it. I believe it's a KCRW program.
Yes, of course, that's your affiliate out here, yes.
And about four other stations.
And you guys get in our heads, you know?
Well, Garrison Keillor's another one who just sort of occupies so much of our mind, and so we feel like we know what he's going to say at any given second.
Oh, my word. Oh, goodness gracious.
But it's the voice, I think, is so interesting and fun. And for me, it's a fun thing to noodle with, the instrument of the voice. But I realize, too, it's got deeper implications because, you know, the voice is a symbol. It's a sample of who we are. It's a personality, and it has its own sort of value. You know, you hear a voice, and like you've been laughing. It sort of evokes that person and that personality and that viewpoint.
I got a peek at some dates you have coming up this summer. Or actually in the fall, and I noticed you've got a couple of nights where you play Mexico City.
Yes, I was invited to come to Mexico City for this huge conference called La Ciudad de las Ideas. And I speak a little Spanish. I don't think I speak quite enough to do my act in Spanish.
Pero vamos a ver. Vamos a ver. Posiblemente puedo hacer una imitación de Robert De Niro en español. Vamos a ver. ¿Sabes? Ojalá que sí.
Am I wrong? Do impressionists seem to be dwindling in numbers in show business?
Well, they seem to be absorbed. You know, my show, the Jimpression Show, is a kind of a throwback to the 70s guys like the great Rich Little, the great Fred Trambolina, and Frank Gorshin that were, you know, ubiquitous on television back in the days when people said ubiquitous. and everyone knew what they meant. But, you know, in the 60s, you'd see on Merv Griffin or Johnny Carson an impressionist, and he would do, you know, his set. Mm-hmm. And there is that, and it does exist, but it's sort of been absorbed by Saturday Night Live and other kind of sketch comedy things. But I think there's something marvelous for audiences about seeing a person without props, without makeup and prosthetics, without a wig, just evoking and becoming that person. It's a marvelous little magic trick, and I think there'll always be a place for it. And, you know, the audiences and people I've talked to said, God, we don't have this anymore. This is cool. So that's why I really brought it back. I wear a bad 70s suit, you know, white shoes, white belt, and I look stylish.
Jim Meskimen, the man of more than 1,000 voices, speaking with us from the studios of NPR West. He appears tonight at the Acting Center in Hollywood. Give us one last goodbye, thanks, Jim.
Bye-bye, everybody.